that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
It's Friday, June 24th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, wasn't the ending to the road trip that Guardians fans and players had necessarily hoped for. A 1-0 loss in a getaway day game at Target Field, but the Guardians come home with a 7-2 road trip, I think far exceeding the expectations of many people around the game, and really, despite the loss, still probably one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. It was a tough loss, 1-0. But if you look at it in, as a whole, you know, the trip couldn't have gone much better. You sweep the Rockies, take 2 out of 3 against really a great Dodger club, and go in and take 2 out of 3 from the Twins to move into a percentage point lead in the AL Central. So, you know, if you drew it up, you know, that's about as good as you can draw it up.
But it doesn't stop there. They come home now and they face a homestand where they get Boston for 3 games and then 5 more against the Twins before a weekend series with the Yankees leading into the 4th of July holiday. So we're going to see what this team is made of. The nice part about that is it's going to be at home moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, they played, I think, probably the fewest home games in American League. So hopefully they get some crowds there. You know, you saw how energized they were at Dodger Stadium playing in front of those big crowds, you know, 40 to 50,000 every night. And that really, you know, that caught the Guardians players' attention. It would be nice if they, you know, packed the ballpark or, you know, came close to it at Progressive Field. And because they certainly, they deserve a little recognition from the fans, you would think, by the way they played. And but it is going to be a tough stretch, Joe. I mean, like you said, Boston, 5 against the Twins. Oh yeah, and then comes the best team in baseball, the Yankees, who swept you in the Bronx earlier in the year.
A little bit of carryover from that series as well. We know emotions were running high on the last day of that visit to the Bronx. Let's really quickly go back and recap yesterday's game. Not a lot of scoring, not a lot of action. A Nick Gordon solo home run was the only run scored in the game. But the Guardians did have a chance to come back and answer and really had a couple of opportunities to put runs on the board, none the least of which was Joe Smith on the mound for Minnesota, and the bases loaded with nobody out, and Joe Smith worked some sort of magic to get out of it. In one of the plays, he got a ground ball to Gio Urshela, I think, with one out, and Framil Reyes at third base, and they Urshela bobbled the ball. I think Reyes might have thought that Urshela was going to try and turn two on the play, so he might not have been running his hardest into home. But it turns out they got the force at the plate, and that, you know, might have cost Cleveland a run there.
Yeah, that was the second out of the inning. Then and just a weird inning. I didn't think it was, you know, looking at the play live, Joe, I didn't think it was that close of a play. I thought he was out by plenty. But, you know, you look at the replay, and it was a close play. And, Framil left the bag hard going on contact. You could tell that, you know, he had his head down. He was digging hard. And I think, you know, like we were talking about, I think he thought, you know, Urshela was going to turn a double play to end the game, in the inning. And but when Urshela bobbled it, he only had one play at home. He came at home and, you know, got him by a couple steps. Is it closer if Framno slides? You know, probably. But I still think he's out. But it could have been. It's just, if you had eyes in the back of your head, you know, you could have seen that coming. But unfortunately, he didn't. You know, he kind of pulled up at the end and turned around to see what was going on.
Yeah, knowing the kind of defender that Urshela is, you know, you can't blame Framil Reyes for, if he's got his head turned to the play, you know, just naturally assuming that Urshela was going to make that play and go from there. But, you know, it goes back to Terry Francona always talking about, you know, playing the game the right way, running the bases hard, doing the little things and doing them every time consistently. Like in Amed Rosario, he constantly brings up as an example of the way Amed Rosario busts his way down the first baseline. And he says, if you don't do that every single time, then there's the result, you know, is going to catch you, is going to find you. And I think that might've been a situation. Was Tito asked about the possibility of pinch runners at all in that situation?
Yeah, no, he was not. And that's probably my fault for not asking him. I still think it's a little early to do that. You know, Franmil had, you know, in the inning, Gonzalez, you know, opened the inning with the walk. Franmil doubled him to third. So, you know, if you pinch run Kwan there, you know, you're taking your big bat out of the lineup. Maybe he didn't want to do that early. Maybe, you know, so, you know, that's a debatable question to me. I mean, you usually don't see him make pinch running moves that early in the game. It's usually right in the eighth or ninth inning.
Right. And, you know, a guy that they actually DFA'd Oscar Mercado earlier in the week. So that would be a guy with good speed who they, you know, would have normally put in a situation like that as a right-handed bat to counteract whatever pitching move the Twins would have made in the bullpen. Okay. So the other part of this equation is Zach Plesac, you know, another really strong outing, two very good starts on this road trip, but nothing to show for it. No decision and a loss, despite pitching extremely well, probably the best we've seen him all season on this trip. What do you think of Zach Plesac and the way he pitched the last two outings?
I thought he was great, Joe. I mean, he goes head-to-head with Clayton Kershaw in L.A., you know, battles him to a standoff, six innings, gives up a run, I think. And yesterday gives up a run in six innings against lefty Devin Smeltzer, who, you know, baffled the Indians or the Guardians again. This guy can't get a break, Joe. I mean, he needs a couple runs, you know. He needs some offensive support. I think they're averaging just, you know, 2.3 or 2.4 runs per game. That's what runs of support he's getting per start. And you're not going to win games like that. You can't pitch much better than he has the last two times out.
Right. Yeah. Plesac is very, very chill, very zen. You know, he's got the right attitude and approach when he says things, but you can tell the emotions on his sleeve when he's out there. You know, there were a couple of calls that he didn't get, a couple of low strike calls that he didn't get. And you could tell after that, he took a second to walk behind the mound. He was upset. It extended his pitch count maybe a little bit. Didn't necessarily affect the score of the game at that point, but you know, this is a guy who frustration is building. You can definitely tell. You do your job, you go six innings, you give up one run, you should at least be able to factor in a decision there, and it shouldn't go against you. But like you said, Devin Smeltzer was lights out. He changed speeds, and he really was tough on all the right-handed hitters for the Guardians.
Yeah, they've scored one run against this guy in two starts this season, and I'm sure they'll see him again, you know, next week in Cleveland when, you know, the Twins arrive for five games. Joe, what in this, getting back to the seventh inning, what do you think should Tito a pinch hit? You know, he had a bunch of right-handers in there against, you know, sidearmer Joe Smith, and he had three lefties on the bench. He had, you know, Palacios, Naylor, and Kwan.
Yeah, I think not having a balance on the bench there with at least one more right-handed bat available to come in kind of hurt, you know, what Tito wanted to do. And he's also trying to protect some guys. You know, he gave Naylor a day off. He wanted Austin Hedges a day off. You're certainly not going to pinch hit Austin Hedges for anybody. So, yeah, there wasn't a lot of flexibility there. I think he was sort of, you know, he had his hands tied a little bit, and it might have been, you know, a little bit of self-tying there. But, yeah, I don't question the decision not to pinch hit in the seventh, because you were going to see the big lefty that they closed out the game with,
Caleb Thielbar.
Caleb Thielbar. You were going to see him at some point anyways, because Smith had already faced three batters. So anybody they brought off the bench from the left side was going to get a lefty thrown against him anyhow.
Yeah, and there was one point Francona raised. You know, Ramirez was DHing yesterday. So, you know, he said if they pinch hit Naylor, you know, Naylor's got to go play first. Then you got to move Owen Miller to third, you know. And he did. I don't think he felt real comfortable with Miller playing third. I don't think he hasn't played there that much.
No.
So I think, you know, he kind of got pigeonholed a little bit just by having, you know, that usual lefty lineup, you know, when Ramirez DHs, when they give him a break, and you've got Clement playing third. So lots of factors in there. And then in the ninth inning, you know, Andrés Giménez, the secret weapon, you know, doubles off, you know, in a lefty-lefty matchup, doubles mm-hmm. off Thielbar with one out. So you the tying run is at second base again, scoring position. And then, you know, but Clement, you know, bounces out, and then, you know, you pinch hit Kwan there in the lefty lefty thing. And Kwan strikes out, and that's it. So just a kind of a frustrating, you know, it wasn't a seamless game for the G's.
Right. And you're right about Andrés Giménez being the secret weapon there, because you might think bringing Thielbar in the late innings to face a lefty is the way to go if you're Rocco Baldelli, but Andrés Giménez has reverse splits against left-handed pitchers. He's lights out, and especially in the late innings, driving the ball to left field the way that he does. Just been an all-around great season so far for Giménez, especially late in games. So you know, can't blame Baldelli for trying what he did, but good to see Giménez continue to come through regardless of the outcome. So now we're looking ahead tonight. What do you think of this? Every fan in attendance is going to get one of those Jose Ramirez t-shirts.
Are cool t-shirts. The boys love those. Everybody on the team was wearing them. I think Tito was wearing them, the coaches, the training staff, even Andre Knott had one on.
Not surprising to hear that, but as far as, you know, just the affection that this organization now, and really the club has for Ramirez, ever since he committed to Cleveland, I think that was the big move. Not a surprise to see a t-shirt with his giant head on the shirt. That's all it is. I think everybody needs the chain to go with it. Everybody needs one of those Jose Ramirez wearing a chain medallions to wear as well, and that completes the outfit. But so that's the environment that we'll be stepping into at the ballpark tonight as they welcome Boston to town. And this is not a series to be overlooked or taken lightly. The Red Sox come in as one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yeah, definitely. Their fans travel well. There's going to be a lot of Boston fans in there, I know. And it's going to be a fun series. You know, I'm a little worried about Ramirez, Joe. It looked like, you know, that thumb injury. He didn't look like the same hitter against the Twins to me as we saw, you know, well, he had two games off in L.A., but in Colorado where he just killed it. And it looks like the sting has gone, maybe gone out of his bat a little bit. I think there's obviously something going on with that hand.
Yeah, it's something to keep track of and keep in mind. And Boston, you know, can take advantage of that. They're one of the teams that can definitely do that. The Red Sox have won each of their last six series. They're 10-1-2 in their last 13 series after opening the season 1-7-1 through their first nine. And their plus 39 run differential in June is the second best mark in the AL and fourth best overall in the majors. So this is a team that can score runs. They know how to win. They rank second in the majors with a 2.74 team ERA in June. So, and they've only allowed 15 home runs in June, and that's the fewest in the majors. So for a team like Cleveland that doesn't hit a lot of home runs, they're going to have to manufacture runs during this series.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think that's the approach they've taken the whole year. We were talking to Arias after the game, and he said, you know, from when he was on rehab in Columbus, he was watching his teammates, you know, take that kind of small ball approach to, you know, kind of, you know, stay away from, you know, big ball, you know, stay away from, you know, big swings and just meet the ball like he did in the seventh inning with that double down the left field line. He said, you know, he's going to take that approach, try to take that approach and see how far it takes him. So I think everybody else on this club has bought into that, and you can really see. I mean, obviously, it's harder to score runs. You know, you instead of, you know, 1 3-run homer, it takes two or three or four, you know, hits in an inning to get something going, to get a rally going. But hey, it's worked so far. It's kind of an outlier approach in this day and age of the big leagues.
This series should also be fun, you know, later in the games, for sure. So if you're late arriving to the ballpark or you're late tuning in, you'll be all right. There should be plenty of action from these sixth, seventh, eighth innings on. Cleveland batting .251 against opposing relievers, and that's the best mark in the American League. And with runners in scoring position in the seventh inning or later, the Guardians are hitting .283. And that's actually tied with Boston for the best mark in the majors. In the American League. So these are both teams that know how to score runs late. And really, it could come down to a question of whose bullpen can outlast the other one.
Yeah, I mean, Boston has a great offense. Bogarts and Devers. I mean, Devers, what did he have, like six straight hits last time he appeared in Cleveland? It was unbelievable. They should have stopped. If it was a fight, they would have stopped it in the fourth round. They've got a great offense. It's going to be a fun series, Joe. And, Joe, what about subtext? What can we tell the fans about or the listeners about it? I think we're starting to get into the meat of the season, and I think it'd be great. It's really kind of a great gift or a great way to get some inside information on the Guardians.
Right. Well, first let's tell them how to sign up for it. Go to cleveland.com/subtext. Or if you want to send a text message to 216-298-4346. And we'll get you signed up. It's $3.99 a month. And it's a subscription service where you can talk, have conversations back and forth with myself and Hoynesy. Send us questions, have your questions answered on the podcast or in print. And really, it's a great sort of, line of communication for real Guardians fans to sort of check in on the team. The best thing is, after every time we're in a press conference or a post game with Tito or with any of the players, we basically sum it up really quickly on subtext and push out an alert to everybody of what we found out or what we're working on. Even if it's something more long range, I'm working on a Josh Naylor feature that should be coming within the next week. And, you know, the stuff that I'm finding out about his background has been really interesting. And I've been able to share a few of those things occasionally after talking to coaches and teammates and players.
Yeah, and today we posted a couple story, you know, a couple questions, you know, asking the subscribers what they thought of Francona not pinch hitting in the seventh, or you know, Franmil Reyes's effort going to you know, going home on that contact play, and great responses. And these, you know, these guys are serious baseball people, fans, and it's fun to get their feedback.
Yeah, it's a great way to second guess Tito, I guess. Is if you're frustrated shouting at the TV screen, then join subtext, and we'll commiserate with you as you share your frustrations on Terry Francona's managing decisions. I'm sure he'd love to hear about that. Hoynsie, big series this weekend. You'll be there Saturday night. I've got the game tonight. And we'll look forward to talking to you again in the future, in future editions of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll hook back up with you.
Good deal, Joe.